Okay. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Parapod. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for the support on the last episode. I believe the last episode was my dad's episode, which was hilarious. Good feedback on that. Thank you very much. Apologies in advance to my family, who were slightly disappointed on Christmas of the language that was used. I apologize. Got a little bit carried away. We are still going in 2024. This was planned for the new year, but we are still going. One more episode for 2024, and we are having our first returning guest. Jay was the first podcast I did when I came back to Dublin, my first Irish guest. And we have a lot to go over in that time, because things have gone massively different for you in that time. Yes. So I want to welcome Jay Kavanagh back onto the Parapod.
Well, it's happening, everyone. Good to be back. Unbelievable. Good to be back. The first person back as well. It's mad, isn't it?
Like, that's
it was
the first
person when you came back, and now I'm the first person. Ah, it's mad.
And
it's
even crazy. Like watching that pod back, I was like, I did so much shit wrong on that podcast. I lit it wrong. It was like, you look like a ghost. It was so bright. I left the window. That's my fault. Apologies. We're learning here, folks. We're learning. But I want to get you back on because we had you on last time. We spoke a lot about you had just started your vlogging, which was like the content I'd seen you make originally. You were still studying. You were still coming up and down from Wexford, wasn't it?
Waterford.
Waterford. Commuting back and forth. And we spoke at that time about you wanting to do content full time, see how you could monetize your content. Yeah. Fast forward now, a year and a half, almost 2 years. Yeah. Things have changed massively. So I want to break down the year a little bit. But first and foremost, can we just talk about a few maybe highlights of this year for you?
Yeah, so, Jesus, like, where do I start? Like, without sounding too big-headed, this year has been probably one of the best years in my life. I thought last year was good. Like, I thought last year was, oh, I can't top this. But this year has been crazy. Like the likes of getting invited to all the festivals. Like, people wait years for that to happen. You know what I mean? I think that's mad. Like, working with Coca-Cola, working with huge brands, like, absolutely huge brands, like Cadbury, Coca-Cola, Snickers. So ready, like it's mad, like Oral-B are just a few to name, like, and mad, like.
And when we first spoke, you were like, it would be amazing to get some sponsors on board and like understand. I don't even think you understood at the time, like, where money can be made in content. Like, it was so fresh in Ireland at that time. Unless you were one of the big names, you didn't have sponsorships.
Yeah.
And then really over the last year or two, man, it seems to have completely flipped. And now you see creator businesses going like mad. All these creators, especially girls, making content around new products they're making, doing really, really well for themselves. So I guess for you, have you seen in this year at all how you can turn this into like a long-term play? Like, have you thought about that? Like, obviously you can't vlog forever, make content forever. Are you thinking in the background, what are some things I can put in place over the next couple of years to kind of make me long-term income slowly?
Yeah, of course. Like, you have to kind of adapt with the times as well. Do you know what I mean? Like you say, like, there's content is constantly changing. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's always something new. There's always something bigger. There's always something better. Mm. But I think, like, the way you can kind of go off that kind of, like, beaten track that everyone normally goes on, like, you could come out with a digital product. Mm. Like, say, for example, a food creator come out with an ebook. Mm. It's something so simple, easy to do. You put in the time at the start, and then it pays dividends.
Low cost as well.
It's low cost. Like, it's not net. The only cost is your time, which is great. Like, if that's your only problem, laughing. Yeah. But then, like, even say, like, I have friends that do fashion. Like, you could do an ebook on, like, fashion tips. Mm. Something so simple. You may think it's really simple, no one's going to buy that. But you have to remember, if people are looking at you to get into fashion, they're going to look at whatever you're putting out, you know what I mean?
Especially at a price point that they can get involved in. Do you know what I mean? 100%. Like, if you're going to go and do any other business, like, you look at any kind of consumable good.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, there's so much upfront cost you need for that. Yeah. It's very hard to... You're going to take a huge punt trying to make sure it can work. And then, especially in Ireland, I don't even know if people, apart from makeup, I haven't seen another consumable product apart from like ebooks that people can sell on a regular basis. Yeah. So I think I'm thinking about that myself even a little bit, is like, what, even for me, like, what could I offer?
Yeah.
What areas can I help people on? Whether that's like a...
It's so much though.
Is that vibrating?
Is it?
Oh, yeah, it's a doorbell.
I don't mind that. Turn that fucking phone off.
Or just chuck on the deck. I was always thinking of like a camera or like a videography or editing ebook or something that I could put out, but just putting out something that's, you know, valuable.
Like, you could
to
do
people.
So much, like, because you do a podcast, there's so many things that go into a podcast. So you could teach people about doing audio, you could teach people about the right lighting, the camera equipment you need, the type of editing.
Need, like, to take notes on this, bro.
There's like five different things in one. Like, oh, you could just come out with a whole course how to actually do a podcast.
Yeah, the Parapod podcast masterclass.
Do you know
or something
what I mean?
Like that. No, 100%.
To me and you, it sounds really simple. And to other creators, it's going to sound really simple. But when you think about it, if you're someone's audience and you're looking at someone like us and you're like, geez, I'd love to know what they know. I'd love to, like, kind of pick their brain on a couple of things. And then if you put out, like, like when I had the market in Asia, I done a thing with like consultation stuff. Mm. Do you know what I mean? And people are paying you for your knowledge. You pay for knowledge. You do.
That would be yours. Like a huge one for you would be like content masterclasses and how, even in this year for me, like content wise with businesses, this has probably been my biggest year financially with working with like freelance businesses, working on making content. Every businessman is now trying to figure out, number one, can I do content on my own? Can I make content myself and not have to pay someone like me to shoot it for them and all that? Because the money is just crazy. The value in TikTok content right now, even with my client in Canada, we're trying to build our TikTok right now. It's like one of our biggest priorities. Yeah. So someone like you is like hugely valuable. So
100%.
That's definitely something you can look at.
Like I think we said that the last time, like it's the new way of doing business. Like, do you know what I mean? And even now in 2024, going into 2025, it's going to absolutely explode. Like, I think it's predicted to do over billions of billions in like revenue in terms of like digital space.
TikTok shop in Ireland now is in as well. Yeah. So that's going to mean, that's just another, like, that's going to allow people to monetize so much easier. So it's just great to see, like, it's all going in the right direction.
100%.
And when you first came on and when we had you on the first time, you were kind of figuring out what your long-term play was going to be. Are you going to focus more on what you were studying?
Yeah.
Get your degree in that and work hard at that and have this on the side.
Yeah.
And now it seems like because your content stuff and social has gone so fast, are you kind of trying to figure out which way, where to put your efforts in each one? Or are you still trying to split both evenly and build them together?
Yeah, I'm definitely trying to split both. Like I'm fully qualified now. So the last time I sat here, I was like, I only finished in phase four. I had to come back and still do another, I think it was another year, another two phases and finished now, fully qualified, papers in the door, done. So I think it is a thing now of trying to balance both. And to be honest with you, I have been able to balance both. I did take a good while off work there a while ago, a good couple of weeks. I think it was a couple of months. And it was the break I needed because I needed that kind of reset because I kind of was falling out of love with the whole trade.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I sat down, I just chilled out for a bit, went back and I actually missed working, which is mad. Like I never thought I'd say that. Like I love what I do though. And I've always loved what I do. But I definitely needed that break, that reset that I needed, and now I'm like full steam ahead being able to do both.
So what is the like the play, like if you obviously as things continue to grow on the social side, more content for you to make, more content styles, like that's more and more time, and as the other side grows as well, like there's going to be opportunities come from that as well. Like how are you gonna manage that? Are you kind of like, I need to strike when the iron's hot on the social side while it's working? Do I need to put my priorities into that and then know that that's always there? Or is the hope to kind of still be able to balance both for as long as possible?
Do you know what? I think it's, to be honest with you, like being straight, it's trying to balance both of them because a lot of my content revolves around my work as well. And a lot of people know me for that and a lot of people can relate to that. And I wouldn't want to take that away from me. Do you know what I mean? Not just yet anyway, because I think being relatable is a huge thing. And I think you're never going to stay relatable, 100% relatable for the rest of your life. You're not. 100%. Like, you're going to move on in life. You're going to go like up a ladder, whatever. Like, do you know what I mean? You're going to change as you evolve. Your audience or your followers kind of evolve with you, do you know what I mean? Or they obviously go a different direction, which is nothing wrong with that because you're following a creator for what they are at that time. Do you know what I mean? Like, but people change.
Is there an option for you to incorporate your content even more into, like, you start your own business and you start building content through
100%.
That? 100%.
That's always been the plan. Like, I'd love to obviously build a business off the back of social media because obviously I've had businesses before being a creator, so I know the whole business side of things, which is good, and I've been able to take that into the creator space in terms of like negotiating deals or just talking to people or just, you know, expanding your network. And it's like I'm getting there, like, do you know what I mean? I'm still trying to stay humble as possible and keep grounded because, to be honest with you, like, you can get so big-headed in this thing and it's just something I would just never want to do because it's not me. I've always tried to be myself. I always never put like a fake persona out online because, to be honest with you, it's too fucking hard to keep up. Do you know what I mean? Just be yourself, you'll be fine. You don't need to copy anyone. You stay in your own lane and you're good.
You mentioned there about negotiating deals and stuff. Now, you've obviously been in the game now, right, since we spoke, another 2 years or so.
Yeah.
And you've met obviously a huge amount of creators in the space in Ireland. Were you even surprised when you started to hear the money that some people were making from collaboration deals? Like when the figure started being thrown around, were you like, geez, I had no idea that the level of money that can be made? Or were you like, this is pretty standard?
Because like
if you look at someone like, I use Eric Roberts as a great example, as an Irish influencer, in terms of like, number one, stayed hugely relatable, his content stayed the same, but he's worked with some ginormous brands.
Yeah.
And I know from a few guys that we've shot with, I know the kind of numbers that get thrown around for campaigns. And originally I had thought, especially coming back to Ireland, the money wasn't really there in creator stuff yet.
Yeah.
And I think over the last 2 years, it's kind of, you've just seen value go and go and go and more people seeing it. Mm-hmm. So has that encouraged you a little bit to see that, oh, there's real money to be made here if I stay consistent with it?
Oh, definitely. Like, there is money to be made. If you ever need a design to get into content, if that's what you want to do, if you want to chase the money, just to make the video. Make videos, be consistent, and you'll get there. But yeah, there is a lot of money to be made. But see, people think it's a lot of money to be made, or it must be so easy, but it's not. Like, it's a full-time job in itself. Like, I come home from work and I'm going to work again. Like, I'm grafting more than I ever have. And you know what? I love every second of it. I love that being hectic. I love being like all over the place, crazy. Like, it's just great. Like, I thrive on it. And it's good. But yeah, back to what you were saying about like the long-term plan. Like, I do want to try and balance both as long as possible, because it's started to happen now in work. Like, creative stuff is leaning into that. Like, say, walking with Snickers. Yeah. Snickers I've worn since I'm like 15.
Yeah.
I've worn Snickers since I started walking in my whole work life.
Mm.
And to be able to walk with a brand like that, it's just insane. And have a good relationship still with them. Like, I was talking to the girl that does all the marketing for them like a couple of weeks ago. It's mad. Like, it's crazy. But like, even with the likes of like, say, Till brands and all that kind of stuff, there's so many avenues you can go down.
Oh.
Just like social media, if you are the niche, right? If you're the niche and you're the personality, you're not like known for one or two things. You're known for just being yourself.
Yeah.
There's so many avenues you can go
down. And you've got, like, in this industry in particular, there's all these brands like Snickers, like you said, like, there's so many tool brands that don't really have creators to be able to market their products.
No.
And then you jump in, and like, everyone, if I'm working a Snickers marketing team, I go, right, who do we have here that makes content to a good level, consistently understands the algorithms, that's in our niche? And like, you're probably top of that list now.
Yeah.
They go, there's this guy Jay, he's just finished his studies for that. He's making like vlogs and content already.
Yeah.
He could be a great fit. So you've, just by being yourself and following the passions that you had, you've fallen into a niche where you could like be a huge name in that particular niche as well, which is unreal.
It's insane. It's all a plan. That's the plan. Do you know what I mean?
Have you dealt with in the last 2 years, like, you were, we even spoke about it 2 years ago, work ethic was insane. Like, you traveling up and down, building your social career as well as studying. Have you, in those 2 years, did you deal with any other periods of burnout or anything like that, or even struggling to find the balance between the two, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Like, listen, I'm my worst critic. I am my harshest critic. I'm always critiquing myself that I could have done something better. I should have done more. I should have done this, should have done that. To other people on the outside looking in, the work ethic might be insane. But to me, it's like, it's not enough. I haven't done enough. I'm not doing enough. And do you know what? It can be a good thing and it can be a bad thing.
Yeah.
It can be very detrimental. Really, really can. But I think if you use it in a certain way, you'll be fine. You can use that as fuel. But yeah, no, I definitely have burned out 100%. Like, I'm doing a lot, but I know where I want to get to. And I know, I said that the last time, I know where I want to be. And it's just a matter of getting there. And I know what I need to do. But sometimes I can just like steer off the track a little bit.
Yeah.
Procrastination sets in, all that kind of stuff. I'm sure you know yourself, but it's just about getting yourself back and getting yourself on track and just go for it. Like,
well, so we had, I went to Florida there for 10 days. I was only back 2 days ago. We went to Disneyland in Orlando.
Yeah.
And that was the first time, 10 days, didn't turn my phone on, like, do not disturb mode for the whole thing. I'd say about 5 days in, I was like, this feels weird.
Yeah.
I was like, there's stuff coming in, there's emails coming in that I can see, and I'm like, I'm just going to leave them alone. And it was lovely to recharge a little bit, but I don't know if I could unplug myself for any longer than that without like getting, that's why I emailed you or I texted you at the podcast, because I was like, man, I need to get in, just film something, get something rolling this period. So it's, I think it's fine in the balance between, there's always more you can be done. But even watching, I watched our episode back yesterday, making dinner. I think you should go back and watch that a little bit, just for a little bit of perspective for yourself. Because like, all the things you spoke about wanting to do, I think like 5 or 6 things you mentioned being like, want to be fully certified, want to start working with brands, find some other content styles, would love to come to go to some premieres and stuff like that. And all those things have been ticked off. So even that would just give you a little bit of a buzz to be like, Jesus Christ, you're speaking into truth. Do you know what I mean?
I know you do. Like, and I think it's one of them things where you know where you want to go. It's just about getting in the vehicle and getting, like, you know what vehicle you need. So just get in and go. Do you know what I mean? I think, yeah, it is hard work. It's a lot of work. And especially with trying to balance a full-time job, it's not easy. It's not for the faint-hearted, as they say. You need to really put in the graft. You really need to go for it. Like, I think, like, only the end of this year now, I kind of haven't been as consistent with uploading as I probably would have liked, but I'm still uploading more than once a day.
Yeah, it still probably kills you, and you're like, only 2 today. Like,
I know. Oh, no, it does. Like, I try and upload, but I was, like, at the start of this year and, like, the end of last year, that's when I seen a lot of growth. Like, last year, I seen a lot of growth. I think I went up by, 2022, I think the last time I was here, I was only
You were doing a lot of food stuff. Yeah, I remember that. Right, yeah. That was the start thing that you spoke about. A few food videos that had gone viral, and you were just starting your vlog.
That's mad, isn't it? Like, yeah. And I think back then I only had like just under 10K followers on Instagram, and now I'm sitting at over 40, which is it's a big jump. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And then TikTok as well has insanely grown as well. But I think it is one of them things where when you sit back and reminisce, you're like, "Jesus, I have done so much." But I want to get to the stage where I can look back saying, "Yeah, I've done that." But we need to keep going.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
You seem to have built a little network of people as well, like creator wise, that you can kind of work with. Have you found that? I think when you first started, you were kind of a little bit of a lone soldier, which is how it kind of starts. You're making content by yourself, doing vlogs, trying to get into the networking opportunities.
Yeah. Yeah.
You kind of have that now, and you have a few guys that you make content with, travel around with, go to events together with. Mm-hmm. Does that, that has to help. It has to help to have just some other people that are in the same mindset as you, getting invited to similar events. You have a little group of people that you can even bounce ideas off. You found that helpful?
Of course, your network is your net worth, and it's something that I've always and I will continue to take with me.
Every year, it seems to become more and more the case as things go on. I've had opportunities this year that have just come from guys I've done a podcast with or shook hands with once. He goes, "Hey, would you be available?" And that spirals into a huge thing. So there's no value in the lone soldier thing anymore. You need to have a community.
I think you need to have a strong network. Like I said, your network is your net worth. And I think I realized that from having American Agency, having the Clothing Brand, and then bringing that in. And I've seen how valuable a network can be. So I had a network of totally different people when I had the American Agency and the Clothing Brand. But now it's a network of people where I've combined the two of them. Do you know what I mean? And it'll just get you, a good network will get you into rooms that you could never get in without not knowing someone.
Yeah.
It's all about who you know nowadays, not what you know.
It's interesting now that I think we had spoken a little bit about you potentially like traveling or would you live in a different country or anything like that. It must be very difficult because you've progressed so much in all these areas now and you want to kind of build on that. So going to a new country, starting again, it just seems like, you know, at this point might not be the best opportunity for you. Do you still, after now 2 years, has that changed for you at all?
So at the end of this year, we are going to go traveling for 3 months to do Southeast Asia.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Okay, tell me, where are you going?
We want to do all the countries in Southeast Asia. I can't wait to go to Japan. Can't wait to go to Tokyo.
I just had a mate back, just traveled for 3 months there, did New Zealand, Southeast Asia, and Tokyo was the number one place he visited. Yeah. He was like, it was actually unbelievable.
New tattoos.
Oh, fuck, the man's inked up and shit. I think you'll have a ball, man. Yeah. And the content you'll make.
I know, it'll be good. Yeah. See, that's what I like now. I've liking the way the content has transitioned where it can be everyday stuff, lifestyle. Yeah. Like, I've started to move more into, the vlogs are still there, which is great. Mm. The vlogs aren't there as much as I would have liked. That's been one of the things I haven't been as consistent with, that I probably should have been consistent with this year. Mm. And I kind of missed the vlogs. I missed the vlogs so much because the vlogs are really good because they're good for memories. Like, I have when I pass my driving test, as a vlog, do you know what I mean? Like, and I think that kind of stuff, core memories that you can, the vlogs, when I originally started the vlogs were for my future self, do you know what I mean? To look back on, say, when you have kids or whatever it may be, you look back on, you show them all these memories, all these things that you've done. And that's really why I like the vlogs, and that's what I'm looking forward to now, 2025, the foot's going through the fucking accelerator, out of the car, and I'm just going to go for it.
That was a, Irish guy tries weird food is going to go fucking insane in Tokyo and shit.
I'm telling you, but I can't wait. But New York, though, if you've seen the videos in New York.
Go to Cat's Deli or something like that. Yeah, all those ones.
I think we done one where we were outside 7-Eleven and had a big Oreo. Mm. But the videos are fucking numbers. I done one, and I'll never forget it. It's one of the funniest videos I've ever done, and it's so simple. I went on a run in New York, and it was I didn't run well. I'm just going to do it. I think I said I'm going to do 4K. Grant, happy days. I ended up doing 8 just by running, looking around, seeing all the sights. But
going down the streets.
Then after I went and got coffee, and I was just walk around. I was do you know what? I'll take a video of this just outside the Empire State. So I done it. I just said, outside the Empire State, no big deal, right? Mm. The video done 700,000 views. All I'm doing is literally show me outside the Empire State.
It's the backdrop, I think. Particularly in New York, nothing looks like that. You know what I mean?
Best place on earth. It really is the best place on earth. It's one of the best. No, it's the best country I've ever been to, and I cannot wait to go back. Mm.
The issue we had, I went, we ate shit, man. It was great. We ate proper every day.
Yeah.
Proper. You can see, my skin was breaking out and shit. We're getting Chick-fil-A every day. got five guys in and out, Shake Shack. Man, the grub was outrageous. But it does, number one, like, there's that, like, it was quite expensive where we were, but also just the access to semi-healthy food was so tough, man. You're going in, like, they'll have a strip mall and it'll just be all the biggest takeaways you can have, and the lines out the door. But it, in terms of just the scale of the place, like even Florida, where we were in Orlando, it's just so different to anyone else I've been. There's also people vlogging in Disney. No one even looked, even look at them twice. Well, it wasn't weird at all.
No one cares, though. Do you know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, I think now it's been a lot more kind of, people realize a lot more that this is a thing and it's staying and it's not going anywhere. If anything, it's going to keep evolving. So I think, you get the odd one or two looks about having a camera out, but I think everyone is kind of like, they're just doing a video. Like,
yeah, and they also start to realize, like, when you're in a job, just a day-to-day job, like, let's say a dental assistant, whatever it is, you will 100% be in meetings and the boss will be like, guys, we need to figure out a way to market. Like, how can we get more people coming into the chair? So, like, you can't avoid it. There is no industry now, short of maybe finances, banking, stuff like that. Like, there's no other industry where having a knowledge of content marketing isn't going to be helpful.
You have to. And, I think now the way the world is going, I think the more value you can offer to a company, the better. It doesn't matter about, like, certifications anymore. Well, obviously, certs help. They help, like, boost your fucking CV or whatever. But I think it's going to be, how much value can you offer to companies nowadays? How irreplaceable are you? Do you know what I mean? Like, if you're not easy to get rid of, you've given the company not a lot in terms of value. Kind of do so well, and it's mad, like, when you think about it.
Like, I see, it's weird, you see different people. Like, I would say 2024, there's been, I say, the creators that kind of jumped out at me, or the ones I just get fed on my algorithm, is like, have you seen the You're Having a Laugh podcast? Have you seen those two lads?
Yeah,
I'm doing one with them in January. So I saw them just blow up out of nowhere, so I get fed their stuff. Also, like, girls like Casey Campion, Laura Mert, like those girls, I've seen that just fed their stuff, and it's probably because they're posting so much every day. But it just shows, like, you can go from, like, completely unknown, and in 1 year you can be one of the biggest names in the industry. So, like, that should encourage anyone who's like, oh, I don't know if I'd be able to make content consistently, whatever. That should encourage you to know that, like, this is very much possible for you.
100%. Anything is possible. Do you know what I mean? I think it's really helped me see that anything is possible. If you're willing to put in the work, anything is possible. I think it's not easy. And, like, the quote I always say, and I've always taken it, and I'm taking it as my own because I think I've made it up. Maybe it's been heard somewhere, but it's do what others won't to get what others can't. And it just hits every time I say it because it is so true. Like, I think it's in this world where everyone wants everything instantly, everything is so easily accessible. There's so many things happening that you can get straight away. There's so many quick dopamine hits that no one really wants to put in hard graft anymore. Mm-hmm. But there is people that still put in the graft, don't get me wrong. But I think it's gotten to the stage where everyone thinks that life is on easy mode. Do you know what I mean?
It's the success you're looking for is in the work you're not doing. That's the line, baby.
There you go.
Quickly before we finish the second half, there was another thing we'd spoken about when you first came on. Michaela wasn't doing any content. Yeah. You'd kind of fiddled with the idea that maybe she might get into it a little bit. Fast forward 2 years.
She is flying.
It's mad, isn't it? Because one of the things we spoke about is you were like, I think you said I'd love to get Michaela more into content because she's super into it and she helps me with my stuff. I think she'd be great at it. Fast forward 2 years making content with you. Like, it's just shows, number one, it's great that she's got into it and you guys can now do that together. Yeah. Like, any of your couples content now will do so well. And it's also happened organically. You didn't force her into it. You didn't pressure her into starting. I'm sure you were like, this will be huge for you, but you've let her make content herself, learn the ins and outs of it, help her where you can, but also understand that, like, it's going to be a slow graft at the start.
It's madness.
Like, how is that in terms of, like, seeing her kind of grow like that as well? Has that been a huge, just confidence for both of you, just to see that?
I don't know what, I actually couldn't be happier and I couldn't be prouder, and that's mad. Like, I'll have to go back and watch that because, that's, like, Jesus, when you think about it, like, now she's absolutely flying. Mm. She is smashing it, and I'm actually so proud as, like, our best friend as well as our boyfriend. You know what I mean? Like, I think she's absolutely killing it, and she's built such a great audience of, like, really, like, core people, like, that are real, genuine people that are, like, there for her. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's none of this. Like, she has a great community. They're all so supportive, which is great. Like, and I think, especially with the girls, like, girls can have a harder time kind of getting on with each other than the fellas would. Like, we talk about football and we're best friends.
Yeah.
I think it is one of them things, and she's done it so well, and honestly, I can see it just absolutely explode.
And it doesn't need to be. I think one thing people are learning now is like the size of the audience is what the amount of followers is one thing, but it's the engaged audience. Like, yeah, if you can have 5,000 people that are consistently liking all your shit, that's way more valuable to you than two viral videos 100%. That bring you in, you know, 20,000 followers that'll never see you again.
100%.
And that's
so true.
100%.
Like, the following doesn't. I don't think the following is great, but I think it's just another metric, yeah, for your own kind of ego, mm, in a way. I think it's not all about the following anymore, and I think a lot of the smaller micro influencers have made that kind of come to fruition, because for brands nowadays, if I'm a brand, I'm looking at people who can give me the most value, like that we were talking about, value. How much value can you give to a company? What type of content?
And your niche. Niche is huge. I'd much rather have, if I'm, you know, whatever the niche is, building, we'll just use yourself, even like building equipment or building clothing, anything, yeah, like that. For them, if I've a guy like you who even had 5,000 followers but focuses specifically on, yeah, yeah, construction and like, mm-hmm, accessories around that, mm-hmm, way more valuable to me than getting 100%. Some lad with 5 million who's going to charge me 10 grand 100%. For a post. So it's even for that, like, guys, if you're looking to start content this year, I'm sure people have a goal this year to be like 2025, getting on my, yeah, content grind. Find a niche.
Just do it. Like, the best piece of advice that I would give, and I've given it, like, anytime anyone has asked me for any advice getting into content or anything, you're going to be shit at the start, mm, because it's something you haven't done. Like with anything, do you know what, yeah, I mean? Like, you only get better off with repetition. Yeah, you just put the videos out. Eventually, you'll get better. You'll get better at editing. You'll get better at shooting. You'll get better at all the things that come with it. And eventually, mm, you'll get to a level where you are that person. Do you know what I mean? And it's like that. You put in the graft, it's gonna happen.
Sure, man. Look at my solo podcast, like, unwatchable, some would say. But like, that just gave me such a comfortability going into interviews, yeah, being like, I've already been on camera talking, exactly, bullshit, I have nothing to talk, exactly, about. So
yeah,
it's
you say, yeah, like, do you know, yeah, what I mean? Like, because you've done the things that, like, you've started from the bottom essentially and worked your way up. Mm. Like, everyone has to start somewhere. Like, you have to start, like, your favorite creator has started from zero followers. Do you know what I mean? Like, your favorite footballer had to learn how to play football. Mm. It's all about just getting the reps in, like.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be, especially for creators now, mm, with TikTok and shit like that, man, it can blow up straight away. One viral video can change the game for you, do you know what I mean? And you're off to the races, but it's, and yeah, and try and find something that's in your niche that you're passionate about. It's going to help, yeah, so much when you're talking about something that you actually give a shit about. Mm. But yeah, man, the content game is fucking exploding.
I know it is, and like, even the people in the content game, like, I've been very fortunate, like we were talking about earlier, about having the network of people, the core network of people like that. I have, like, talked to these people and I could call these people good friends now, mm, do you know what I mean? And it's great being able to mix the two networks into one, because, mm, if you ever need anything, or if someone needs something, oh yeah, I'll give XYZ a show. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's great. And I think it is all about who you know. You need to have a strong network in this game, and you need to put yourself out there to get that strong network. Do you,
yeah,
know what I mean?
That's, like, the hardest part, man.
It's getting into the rooms, yeah, is the hardest part. Being in the rooms is easy, but it's getting into those rooms.
So one of the things we didn't really talk about last time, because I don't think it was part of your life usually, is your kind of, like, number one, fitness journey, like, mm, getting into your fitness journey, yeah, but number two, kind of getting into running in a, yeah, more consistent way. How did that start? Just talk to me a little bit about how that originally started.
So, like, obviously, I played football ever since I was a kid, so I was relatively, like, fit, and, like, I would go on the odd 5K, but I wouldn't be mad into, like, doing marathons and half marathons. I wouldn't have been, at least. But, yeah, man, running has kind of, it's been one of those things, like, any time that I was going through, like, a tough time or whatever it is, I used to just go on a 5K and just run, and then I felt great after it. Mm. I think it is, for me, anyway, it's an escape.
It's like a meditation almost,
you know what I mean? Like, when you're running, it's just, everything is kind of behind you. You're just in the zone of running and getting there and beating times. And I use it as kind of an escape metric.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, but it's such a big thing in my life now. And then obviously we have the Dubai Half Marathon, mm, which me, Sean Hill and Kieran O'Connor are doing. Two absolute legends. Legends.
Do any of them run?
Sean, so the way we're doing it is, it's really good. I am like the beginner, mm, because I haven't run more than 10K. So I'm the beginner. Kieran has done a couple of half marathons. I think he's done one marathon. I'm not too sure. Now he has done half marathons though. And then Sean actually runs. He's an actual runner. So you have each level of
experience,
beginner, intermediate, and, mm, then you have like professional. Expert, yeah, do you know, yeah, what I mean? So it's really good. like that. I couldn't have picked, like, we couldn't have had two better lads. Like,
what's the plan? Like, you set the pace and they'll keep with you. Like, are you gonna try and keep with them?
No, do you know what? Like, to be honest with you, my goal is just finishing the fucking thing. 100%. Now, I done it an all out 5K with Sean to see where I was at fitness wise, and I done it in 20 minutes. So,
so that's fucking nippy.
That's all right. Yeah, I was like, I'm happy with that. Like, see, I can run a 5K, but my problem is then because pace. I've never run more than 10K.
Yeah.
It's about pacing yourself and it's about not getting in my head. And let, like, I was doing intervals the other day in the gym, right? And I'm real, like, do you know if I'm doing, like, it was a 1K interval, right? So you do 1K flat out, 90 seconds rest. But if I get to, like, 98, I will not stop. I'd, like, injure myself or anything. I think there was a quote that, I think it was Chris Eubank Jr. said it. If he's on a treadmill and he has to run 5K and he only gets to 498, he gets off the treadmill or whatever, he'd be going into his whole camp thinking, oh, I'm after skipping that. Yeah, I'm going to quit. And then you're gone for the whole thing. Do you know what I mean? I think I've been like that my whole life, though, with everything. Fitness is one of the predominant things that I have been like that because I've always been like, I need to get to that. I need to do it. And just get it done. And then even in the gym and all, like, I'd say I look like a mad thing running on the treadmill. Like, and I was like shouting at myself and all, come on, like, because I get real into it. Like,
bloody shoes and all.
I'm telling you, but... yeah, man, it's gonna be such a great experience. It's gonna be the toughest mental and physical test I've ever put myself through, which is something I'm really looking forward to. Because to be honest with you, like, as much as we said there earlier on about like work ethic and all that kind of stuff, I feel like I've always gotten to a certain stage and then I've stopped. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think I've gotten to a certain stage with the vlogs. Then I went to New York. After New York, the vlogs just went on a downward spiral because. In my head, I really am my worst critic, like I say, and I get into my own head and I think, Siobhan Meltz, I met the vlog after New York, it's the best place in the world. And then the vlogs kind of fell off a little bit. But it took me a long time to realise that the vlogs are great. Do you know what I mean? You just need to keep going with it like that. It took me way longer than it should have. But now I know, going through that experience, going forward now, not to leave it as long. That's why the vlogs, I'm looking forward to them coming back.
And like, especially for the running, my brother's a big runner and I'm trying to get back into it because I'm fucking... fat cunt right it's now tough, but we man. Have a he was always like he was like Sam, I think you'd love running because like anyone who has I'm a bit of an overthinker and it's hard for me to turn my brain off thinking about other stuff and he was like, if you just find yourself a nice little pace there, like nothing crazy, 6.5 minutes a kilometer or something, nice and pace, and just get into that mode and just be like, all right, 45 minutes, I'll see you at the other end, just nice and slow. He's like, you don't even need to get mad out of breath, just get into a flow and do your distance. And you end up being like, you do end up getting into these deep thoughts and then be like, geez, I've been running for 25 minutes.
Yeah. You have that clarity. Yeah. Like.
And then obviously the feeling after is unmatched. But I think 2025 is going to be the year that I put myself in more difficult situations and do things that I, you know, traditionally would have thought that's a little bit too difficult. I'll focus on things I'm doing. I think discomfort is kind of the word for 2025 and just putting myself in that kind of shit.
So when we're back in 2026 now, Sam,
I'm going to be fucking ripped up, man. I'm going to be too lean. We're doing my brother got me and my missus, Clontarf half marathons for May, tickets for that.
Brilliant.
So I'm going to bash that out.
Good.
Got a new little fitness watch, going to track all that shit.
Brilliant.
But I think if I can just get into that as a little habit, running, I think it'd be great because I feel so great after it.
How you doing, man? Like it's unexplainable how good you feel after a run. Like if you're going through something, go on a run. If you feel down, go on a run. Had a tough day at work, go on a run. Or even a walk, or just to the gym, something, any type of exercise, you feel so much better after. And to be honest with you, like, it's gotten me like through so many hard times. I feel like that's why I want to do this, because I want to incorporate it more into my life. And yeah, man, it's crazy. It's gonna be such a big test. Like, I'm really looking forward to it. Don't know how I'm gonna feel after though.
What is what are you raising money for?
So we're doing it for Jigsaw. So Jigsaw are great. I've used them myself. sorry. Yeah, so we're doing it for Jigsaw. I've used Jigsaw myself. I think it's a brilliant service. They do so much for young people and their mental health. And I think nowadays, mental health is more bigger than ever.
Yeah.
It's so important. It's so important to speak to someone. It's so important to whatever you're going through. There is someone there. Do you know what I mean? There's always someone there to listen. Even if you don't want them to talk back, there's always someone there to listen. I think for myself as well, like, I've had a lot of struggles with mental health. Like, I've lived a life, man, like, do you know what I mean? And it's some of the stuff I'll never say on a podcast. Some of the stuff I'll just take to the grave. Me only Michaela and one of my closest friends, Robert, knows, like, the true me and the shit I've been through. And I've been through a lot. And I think it's funny, like, you look at people online and you don't know anything that they've been through. You know nothing about that person. And for someone to, like, say, leave a negative comment, actually take time out of the day to leave a negative comment on your post, you don't know fucking nothing. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, and I, that's what annoys me the most. And it's, especially for the girls, like, it annoys me the most when I see, like, on girls' posts, like, people saying just horrible things. They're like, what is wrong with you? Like, yeah. What? The fact that you need to have that thought in your head to put that on someone's page, like, it's just ridiculous.
I think it helps. It helps me a lot. Obviously, I get some of the comments on the podcast. My dad are fucking funny, Max. He didn't pull any punches. He's very, like, we basically talked about, like, his business journey and the finances he had and all that stuff. And just obviously
giving someone stupid money for fucking
it was soil. Yeah, it was dirt in a bag, soil, man. Yeah. Fucking funny.
Do you know what?
Good idea. It man did well. That and fucking stickball. He was like, but to even be in the mindset, like, could you imagine the mindset you'd have to be in to be like, whatever, you see a video and you go, you know what, fuck this prick, I'm going to leave a post. It's just, I could never be in that mindset to do it, so I can't even try and rationalize it, but it's just, people are going to keep on anyway. You know what I mean? People leave negative comments, you're going to keep going either way, so.
Like, that's why I think, because of all the shit I've been through, comments don't bother me. No. Like, negative comments don't bother me. I couldn't give a bollocks, like, do you know what I mean? Say whatever you want, I actually couldn't give a fuck. Mm. Like, and I know that sounds, like, a bit harsh or whatever, I just don't care.
It's not harsh at all. Like, I know I'm in my lane, do you know what I mean?
That's why I said, like, I've said it before, like, I know where I want to get to. You commenting something fucking absolutely stupid on a post isn't going to stop me from doing what I'm going to do or going the direction I want to go. Like, I have my values. I know who I am. Mm. I know my truth, as my auntie used to always say. You know your own truth. Fuck everyone else.
Yeah. Amen. I agree. Did you have a, let's just say, like, for 2024, did you have a, I guess, number one would be an event or anything that you went to that you were like, this was absolutely outrageous. Is the one that stood out to you?
Yeah. So, Jesus. 2024, fucking hell, like, 24, where do I start?
Remember as well, like, when you came into the last podcast, I think someone asked for a picture on the way in, when we walked in the first time, and two lads were walking up and they saw it, and you were like, man, that's mad, like, that's just been happening a little bit more lately, and, like, a few people run to it, and now 2 years later, like, are you getting a lot of that still?
Man, it's crazy. Like, this is what I'm saying. Remember I was saying how it's leading into work? Like, I'm going into wholesalers now, and all the, like, proper lads know, you were that fella makes the TikToks, aren't you? I was like, oh my God, it's, do you know what, it's fucking great though, because I've had, every single interaction I've had with everyone has always been good, and I think, I love talking to people. Like, I'd never, like, you see people, right? This is what annoys me about some of the people in the creator space at the minute. Now, it's not everyone, like, it's a fair few, but it's just kind of, like, it's not even just in Ireland. Across the board, like, there'd be people that, like, if someone asked them for a photo, they get annoyed at them asking for a photo. But, like, at the end of the day, without those people supporting you on your videos, you are nothing and you are no one.
That's the game you're in, unfortunately. Yeah, like, that is going to be part of the game.
Without them people, you don't have all these, like, achievements. You don't have all these things. So, like, I'll always have time to speak to absolutely anyone that wants to say hello, get a photo. I'll always have the time for them, because without them, I'm not here. I'm not sitting in this podcast here. I haven't worked with any of the companies. I haven't done all these.
I'd still have you on.
You're all right. Like,
but I get you. I get you. 100%.
But, like, do you know what I mean? Like, you wouldn't have all these accolades to kind of not boast about, but you wouldn't have all these accolades that you've done without the people supporting you. Do you know what I mean?
At the end of the day, like, any of the businesses are great, the sponsorships are great, but at the end of the day, they're looking at your audience size and your average viewers. And you know what I mean? That's it.
It's great. Like, I love having the chats with people. I love, like, it's mad. Yeah, but sorry, back to, I keep going off on a tangent.
Do your thing.
Yeah, man, like, it's mad. Like, it is happening quite a lot now that I am getting stopped and saying hello. And, like I said, every interaction has always been great. And it's, like, it's just, it's so wholesome knowing that the videos that you're putting out are actually, like, impacting people in a positive way or giving them some sort of entertainment or, like, a laugh or whatever. Like,
because when you see the numbers, you know what I mean? You see 50K on a vlog, you see 100K on a vlog, you see the number, but if I went to you, all right, there's 100,000 people out in the car park there, everyone who watched your video, you wouldn't fit, they'd be fucking down to the
down
Liffey.
The street,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so when you put it in that context, you're like, you see the number and you're like, oh, that video did a little bit better, but realistically, like, maybe 100,000 more people than usual saw that video.
There was actually a thing, right? I went through my Snapchat memories. I don't know why I was on Snapchat, but I went through my Snapchat memories the other day, right? And it was like, when I had the clothing brand, I was kind of doing a little bit of content here and there. When I had American Ice, I was doing a little bit, and I used to, there was a video of me saying, Jesus, I can't believe that video got 1,000 views.
Yeah.
And now, like, when you think about it, like, 1,000 views, you're like, oh yeah, like, 1,000 views, that's not probably what I'd normally get, like, you know what I mean? But when you really compare it back then, you were like, Jesus Christ, that's so many people. Imagine putting 1,000 people in a room. It's a big room. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? But then it's mad how you grow, how you change, how your kind of perspective on things changes as you grow as a person is. Yep. It's mad, like, it's crazy.
We had, my solo podcast used to get about somewhere between like 80 and 100 views or something. And like the earlier ones, maybe like 20. And then I did one with Joss Mooney. It was like my first one that like ever did any numbers. I think did 5K. Wow. And I remember being like, oh my God, I fucking met. I just seen the K beside on the Oscar. Clats. I'm a fucking, I'm going to be huge. Like, where are the sponsors? Like, it gets you hyped, man. It really does. Just to see progression is great.
Yeah, no, it is. And it's, like I said, like it is happening quite a lot. Like definitely the key takeaways from 2024 are like going to premieres is crazy. I still can't fathom it. Like, I think it's absolutely mad. And like all the festivals, went to all the major festivals this year, brought along with brands, which I am so grateful for, which I think is absolutely madness. I do have a little bit of imposter syndrome from time to time because I'm like, this is mad. But that's the last time I was here. Like, I've gone away to London and all with pennies and all. That's bad. Like, I think
you were like, I'll be unreal to get to go to fucking Longitude. Be invited to Longitude or something.
It's fucking crazy. But yeah, sorry, back to what I was saying. You have the festivals. And then the biggest one, by far the biggest kind of achievement for me was being walking on a red carpet for the Gladiator premiere. That's insane.
Great flick as well. Was Paul there? Brilliant.
He was there. Unreal. We were actually in the screen with all of his family. So they were, I think it was 4 different screens that were showing on for like obviously different people and you were assigned to see. But we were in with his family and like all you had me, Tig, Eric, James, all like everyone in the one row was brilliant.
I think it's good for you to also recognise now that like obviously it's huge, it's great and you feel grateful that they're inviting you, but also that's how they market their products now. Do you know what I mean? So like festivals and stuff. That's how people vlogging at those festivals 100%. Are why people want to go.
It's organic fucking
so
content.
Like, they need that. Like they couldn't pay for the kind of awareness they're going to get from you being in the Coca-Cola section of Longitude and being like, it's hopping out here. So like the trade-off is there. And I think businesses are less and less now trying to make it feel like, oh, you're so lucky to get invited and more so thank you for coming because this is how we're going to market our stuff.
But that's why like, it's like exactly what you said there. Like, we were saying earlier about how people think that this is so easy. Oh, he's going to that festival, must be nice. He's getting paid off these brands, must be nice. But no one sees the work that you have to put in behind the scenes, the constant doubt, the self-doubt all the time. I have so much self-doubt all the time. The procrastination, like critical procrastination, the depression that comes with it. Do you know what I mean? Like, now I'm not saying that happens to me like very often. Like you get, like if a video doesn't do as well, you're like, didn't do as well, like you get a little bit down over it, but you move on, you get on with it.
There's pressure 100%, and if you say there isn't is wild, because you know, especially for any of the brands you work with, they see the content coming in. If that does well 100%. And they like it, they're gonna, there's more business for you coming in, so there is 100%. Pressure on you making the right kind of stuff
100%. Like, and I think it's good for me now, like I'm with an agency now, which is mad. Like back then, it's crazy, but I'm with Enhanced Management and Browner and Orla. They're two, Orla, Jesus, I'll say that again, because they'll fucking kill me. Browner and Orla, they're two sisters, and they are absolutely great. They're so good. I think I've really found my feet with them. We just get on. Do you know what I mean? Like, do you know when when you first meet someone, whether you're going to be able to have a good work relationship with them? And I think that first impression is always so, so important. Like, I met Browner way before I even signed with her. I played in a charity match in Dundalk. She asked me to play in it. And I met her then. And then ever since then, we've kind of kept in touch. But she's brilliant. Like, she's just, you can just see the work ethic that she wants. She knows, she's a person that knows where she wants to get there. Mm. She knows how to get there. And she puts in the work to get there.
And does she, like, one of the things that I'd want an agency to do is understand me and the content that I make. So for you, like, do they know this would be a great fit for Jay?
Listen, okay, they are on me. Like, that's they are good. On me. That's like, cool. They are that's on cool. it. Like, do you know what I mean? They tell me I need to be doing X, Y, Z. If you want to work with X, Y, Z brand, you need to be doing this, this, and this. Mm. Like, it's that thing. I'm not paying them, but you're getting people's knowledge. You're going to people for their knowledge and what they know. They've been in the game. They have absolutely amazing connections. They're brilliant. And they know what you need to do for you to get on that level.
They have all the information of all their creators. So they know what's working, what's not working. Like
it's mad. Like we done a campaign with Wrigley's. That was true, Browner. And like, I would have never, ever been on, maybe ever on Wrigley's radar. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like it's great.
I think it's changed now a little bit. There was a little bit of like, people were villainizing the agency game a little bit because, you know, they can, there's been occasions where they jump in on something that's working, they want a little slice of it, and they kind of, you know, they don't offer as much as, you know, they're taking whatever percentage and you don't feel they're offering as much. But when, particularly in this game now, that like all the brands are looking for creators to work with, you having a good agency, they're going to represent you well and understand the 100%. Brands. I feel, well, what a fucking unbelievable thing to
ways,
have.
Though, it works both ways. If you're putting in the effort, it's great for the agency. Yeah. They're putting in the effort, it's great for you. Do you know what I mean? It's
everyone's
a,
winning.
It's a trade-off of value. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's it's value gained for value earned. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, it's an absolute... I'm absolutely delighted with the way that side of things is going, because without them, I probably wouldn't get any work, because I just don't have the time to do any reach outs or anything like that, because obviously I'm balancing a full-time job, balancing a relationship, I'm balancing have a dog. Do you know what I mean? Like,
did you have it 2 years ago?
Yeah, I had it 2 years ago. I have a dog. Like, I've so many things going on in the background and I just don't have time to do that.
Are you having time to, like, what do you do when you're not doing anything work-related? Is there time?
Running. Literally,
yeah.
Running at the gym, but even at that, I'm still recording myself. So I never switch off, and you know that better than anyone. Like, you know me fucking so long now, like, do you know what I mean? But I don't, I never switch off. I find it very hard to switch off. I do. Even when we're on holidays, I find it very hard to switch off, because everything is content. And, like, don't get me wrong, I say I find it very hard to switch off as a bad thing, but it's great. Yeah. Like, I love recording everything. I love recording all these things to have as memories. Like, my whole social media, every video I put out was just memories for myself, for my future self. I'm not doing this for anyone. I'm doing it for me in the future, for my kids, to show them, like, oh, geez, like, I ran a half marathon in Dubai, like, in aid of a charity. I've, like...
all these events, been invited to different premieres.
I've been on a red carpet. Yeah. I've worked with XYZ brands. I've worked with some of the biggest brands in the world. Do you know what I mean? Brands that I've used, like Cadbury. Like, I've ate Cadbury since I'm out of the womb. Like, I love Cadbury, like, and... it's just, it's mad, man. It's like, sitting here now has helped me, like, realize of how much I have achieved. Do you know what I mean? But I still know where I need to get to, what I want to do, and how I want to get there. Like, do you know what I mean?
Would there be campaigns, like, have you turned down any campaigns this year? Has there been any that have come out and you've been like, I don't know if that's actually a good fit for me?
There's been one or two. Like, there has been one or two. Like, I'm not doing social media, like, for the money, because I'll say that straight out. Like, the money is a great factor. It is a big factor, but it's not the sole reason why I'm doing it. Like I said, my sole reason I'm doing social media is to look back in 20, 30 years and say, Jesus, we actually done loads. Do you know what I mean? We've lived a life. I don't want to get to my deathbed and saying I should have done X, Y, and Z. Oh, yeah. I want to be lived a fulfilled life that I'm actually proud of and I'm happy to look back on, and that my kids look up to me. Do you know what I mean? As, Jesus, that's my dad.
And you having the work... Your full-time job to rely on means you don't have to jump at every single check that's coming at you, you know?
Like, without sounding really, really big-headed or anything, I'm not relying on the money. Do you know what I mean? I'm not. Like, and I think it can be really easy to fall into relying on that money, needing that money all the time, and then kind of it shows in your content that you're forcing things a little bit too much, that it's not as, like, polished as it normally would be. Like, I like having polished content. That's just me.
I know there's people
out there that just will put out whatever and whatever, and that's what works for them.
Yep.
Do you know
that's
what I mean?
A skill in itself. Yeah. Being able to be like, keep it so, so raw. Like, I'll bring up Laura Mert again, because I get pushed her her eating videos, like, when she's just getting munch or whatever.
And like, whatever,
in fairness to her, she'll do fucking, it'll be 8 minutes of her, this is class, and just chatting, or like dead air for like 35 seconds away. I can see you in your head being like, oh, I didn't say anything in 4 seconds. I'm going to lose the audience.
Yeah.
So there's a balance between the two, and I think TikTok in general, you can leave it. There is an element of raw, especially when you're a little bit more established. People love that shit,
100%.
Man.
Like everyone wants to see, like, I think... for businesses now going into 2025, everyone wants to see raw stuff. Mm. People want to see the people behind the business. They do care about the business, but they want to see the people that are running it. Yep. Do you know what I mean? I think, like, there's been some really good businesses that have done that. Like, New Dimensions are very good at doing that. Yeah. They show the behind the scenes. Arlen and Jeff, they're two, like, absolute legends. Like, I'm wearing New Dimensions now. Like, it's just a really good brand. You have, like, even, like, the likes of the big brands, like Lululemon and all, like, with the likes of the run clubs and all that kind of stuff, it's brilliant. And it's great for an audience and a consumer to be able to see the behind the scenes. Yep. Do you know what I mean? The people behind
the
brand.
It's a faceless corporation, do you know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, New Dimensions, you can buy fucking zip-up trackies, millions of them, all over the place. JD, go in there, there's 50 different brands you can buy. The reason someone buys New Dimensions is because they know the story. So
People buy people, as they say.
People buy from people. Amen. Going in a little bit more as we go into 2025, we've got about 10 minutes left. Do you have any other big goals or any other big things lined up for 2025 that you're like, that's going to be interesting?
Yeah, I want to put it out there now that, like, I want to...
Kayla's pregnant.
Yeah, no. Jesus Christ. No. No, we want to go traveling for us. That's on the cards, but...
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, I know. Look, listen, Tokyo's a good place to get engaged.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, even New York. But no, like, for 2025, the plans I have, like... just just absolutely go for it. Like, I think, see, on the outside looking in, it looks like I just really go for things. Mm. But I think in my own head, I don't. I haven't really gone for something. Yeah. I haven't really, like, just stuck.
That's
with
crazy
it.
To say, by the way. Cause
I know, I think that, so but you know what, like, I mean? Like, it's yeah. mad. Like, I think, yeah, it's the constant chasing of something, isn't it? Like, it's never being happy with it. Never being, what's it? Happy, never satisfied. Yeah.
Proud, but never satisfied.
Yeah.
There you go.
But yeah, no, sorry. 2025, I want to hit 100K on both platforms.
Yeah.
I want to be modest and be humble with it. I do. I want to hit over 100K on both platforms, TikTok and on Instagram. I want to hit over 10K on YouTube because I'm going to be back vlogging. And
you back on the YouTube vlogs? Yeah, yes, man, sir.
I have to, like.
Yeah, I like it.
I want to just, really just, I to be honest with you, they're the main goals, but I want to just go for it this year. I want to just put my foot through the accelerator, good. Come out the outside of the car. I'll sit back and look back at the end of 2025 when I'm getting ready for New Year's and looking back in the year and think, yeah, do you know what? I gave it a go. I done what I said I was going to do. And fucking smashed it, like.
And are you, like, here's a tough one for the last couple of questions. Are you happy currently? Do you feel fulfilled from the work you're doing?
From what I'm doing, 100%. Yeah. I love what I do. I love creating content. Sometimes it does get a little bit hard because I'm thinking, am I creating the right type of content? Am I staying true to myself? Am I kind of veering off the track? Am I doing things that, like, just aren't good piece of content? You know what I mean? Like, it is that, but I think I've gotten to the stage now where I sat down with myself the other day and I said, listen, I want to go here. Mm. This is how I go here. Just connect the dots, make a line. That's it. That's what I need to deal with. Just stay laser focused.
Do you ever have moments where you're working your tits off and then you obviously have mates from when you're in school and stuff like that, working 9 to 5 and then go and play golf, or they go and fucking meet the lads for a few pints at the weekend, watch the football? Like, do you look at that enviously at all, like that lifestyle of being like, oh, they do nothing Saturday, Sunday. Nah. They just flake out and then they're back to Monday. Do you feel that at all?
I fucking hate that. Like,
dear,
I need to be on the go constantly. I love, like, I'll be honest with you, I am happy. Like, I'm happy with what I do. I'm happy with the content I make. I'm happy that I've had the opportunities that I've got. Like, I've been happy. No, sorry. I'm happy with the opportunities that I've been given. I'm extremely grateful. And I know I'm in such a lucky position where I am at the minute. But I know that there's still more work to be done. But I'm very happy, like, even in, like, with work, I'm so happy with work. I love what I do. With social media, I'm so happy with work. I still think that's mad to call that work, but I'm happy with what I do. I'm happy with the people I've met, the opportunities I've gotten, the brands I've worked with. It's great. It's great. So it's just a matter now. I think 2022 was like the kind of learning stage. 2023 was kind of implementing that a little bit. 2024 was implementing it a little bit more.
Things starting to
2025
click.
2025 is the fucking year, and I'm gonna openly say that 2025 is the year. It's great.
I think it's great that, like, I think when we spoke the last time, like, you didn't really have a circle of people that, like, were in the game. Like, yeah, Michaela, but she wasn't even doing content at that time. So you were a bit of a lone wolf in terms of the content game. And even it was probably difficult for you to even find people to have a conversation with about struggles of a content creator, ideas, stuff like that. So to have, I think the value in having a circle of people that you can be like, man, do you deal with fucking burnout or, like, doubt and all that stuff? Like, just to have people that can be like, yeah, absolutely, I feel the exact same way.
And it does. It goes back to that kind of network side of things. Like, when I had the agency, like, it was people I could talk to that had other agencies and said, listen, I'm having XYZ problem. Do you have this problem? And then they give you a solution. Same way they come to me with a problem, I give them a solution. But it's the same kind of concept, just in the social media world. Yeah. Like, I'm having a problem with X, Y, and Z, and you talk to someone. And then it's great because you get that kind of reassurance that you're doing the right thing. Do you know what I mean? I know it can be a bit mad saying, like you're looking on the outside in and you're like, Jesus, like, what could they possibly be worried about? Do you know what I mean? But like we said, like, there's a lot that goes into it. And I think it's mad, like, how much has changed, like, when I really do think about it. Like, I think, even with, like, the likes of the video and all with me nanny and all, it's like, see, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. These are videos that I want to be able to show my kids, like, and, like, grandkids, whatever it may be, do you know what I mean? I think, it's one of them things, but, like,
like you said there, you were like, I feel like I was very lucky. I'd say luck has very little to do with your success. I don't think you even gave.
Yeah.
I think you would have, either way, like, you were making so much content, and then as you saw one do better, you were like doubling down on that. So I don't think there was very little luck to do with it. It's not like you fell into this. Do you know what I mean?
No,
like,
I know. I definitely
you grafted your way in. Like, there's a lot of people who make, you know, one I guess, kind of trend video, yeah, and then they get a million views and they get 20,000 followers, and then you're like, I kind of have to get involved. Whereas yeah, like you were like, I'm just going to graft this thing, 100 views, 200 views, 1,000 views. I'm just going to keep grafting, keep grafting. So like, at some point, you take luck out of the picture completely.
Yeah, 100%. It is. There's a lot of work that goes into it, and I think like what you said there, like I'm happy with the way I'm growing. I'm steady growing. I'm not extremely over the top growing, because I think that can lead you into, number one, just change your content completely to that one thing you blew up over, and then you lose everyone that was previously there. Mm-hmm. And then like you just don't know what to do.
And get
like,
complacent, think, and get lazy.
Yeah, you do. Things. No, you do, 100%. Like, but like, yeah, I think I know where I want to get that, and I've put in a lot of graft because of things that I have been through. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've been through so much, and then like even with the likes of me dad and all that kind of stuff, like, that has been the biggest driving point for me, especially doing like this half marathon, that I can actually show to myself that I've done it, and like essentially make him proud. Do you know what I mean? That I'm doing all these things. I know it sounds a bit mad, but like, yeah, it's still one of them things like that. I'm like, still by far the hardest thing I've ever gone through. Do you know what I mean? I think it's the people I talk to that have lost a parent, you can actually relate with them so much. Mm-hmm. But I think it's yeah, man, it's a difficult one. Like, yeah, mad.
He's proud of you, bro.
I hope so. He's proud. I have of you, a bro. Tattoo. So I have I got two new tattoos since we last were on, right?
So portrait of your dad on your back, like imagine.
Oh my god, I could never do that.
Those Steve-O tattoos, like his full face on the back.
So I have. I take the watch off.
What are you rocking, the Apple Watch?
Ah, yeah, just an Apple Watch.
Cheeky job.
Apple, any sponsors? That's that would be great. Thanks.
I'm on the Garmin game, so
Garmin's meant to be brilliant.
I'm on them now, man.
Garmin's meant to be brilliant.
Thank you, mum.
So I have this tattoo here. I don't know if you can see that on the camera, no? So this tattoo here I got recently off Keith Book. He's a very, very good tattoo artist. I have this one here. So I don't know if you can see that. So this one here is my dad's date in Arabic. I really like Arabic numbers and numerals. I think they're very, very good. And I already have this tattoo. I got this when my aunt passed away. She would have been like a mother figure to me. So you have this one here, and then you have in the middle of it, you have BU. That's the last thing that she said to me. I got this recently, and it's probably my favorite tattoo. It's a Japanese philosophy. It's called Kaizen. So it's for continuous improvement. Mm. So like getting 1% better every day, just like living a fulfilled life, just working hard, all that kind of stuff around it. Mm. And yeah, like I think I take that into life now. Like when I was training the other day, like I always say to myself, like make the tattoo mean something. That's kind of my driver now. So yeah.
And you can get, when you go over to, when you go over and travel, you'll see when you go to different countries, like all the place of different tattoo styles, like ways they do it. And there'll be opportunities now. You won't stop now is your problem.
I can't wait for Japan though. Like I'd love to do that now. When we go traveling, I'd love to get a tattoo in each place. So I get it on this arm, because this arm's going to mean something. Like I can't wait. I cannot wait to go to Japan.
I think you'll have a ball, man. And look, vlog the fucking shit out of it. Make content like mad. I want to see everything as it goes. And we'll do this again same time next year, and we'll see what we've drawn. Yeah,
100%.
All right, bro. Lads, thank you for listening. Thank you for the continuous support this year. It's been a big year for the podcast in terms of being recognized by a few awards companies. Obviously, the viewership has grown, but I want to keep it. Thank you, bro. Thank you, man. I love doing it, and they know I love doing it, so I'm going to keep doing it as much as I can. The goal is 35 episodes this year, minimum. So I'm going to hit that, and then let's see if we can do 40. But like, even just the growth on, we did 28 episodes this year, and seeing the growth off that, you're like, man, if you can just keep that consistent, it's going to keep snowballing. So I'm going to keep grafting for you people. Jay, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for the time, brother. Michaela's outside, so we need to let her leave.
Yeah, we need to go.
Pour it off her face. It's all in the hips. Thank you for listening. See you in the next one.
Yes, sir.
Brilliant, brother.